إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتدي ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. Allah is worthy of all praise. We praise Him. We seek His help and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the consequences of our evil actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whomsoever Allah misguides, none can guide. My dear witness, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, is Allah's final messenger. Today is a day of joy, blessings, mercy and forgiveness. The best day the sun has risen upon is Friday, and today is the day. And as we are gathered here this afternoon to remember Allah, to glorify Allah, to honor Allah, to worship Allah, that means we are seeking after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah seeks after those who seek after Him. As we are sitting here to remember Allah, remember what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that when people come together to remember Allah, the angels descend on them, and the mercy envelops them, and the tranquility descends on them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them to those who are near to Him. We are gathered here to remember Allah. So I want us to activate our senses. I want us to be receptive, to receive the tranquility that Allah brings upon us. Be receptive to the mercy that Allah envelops us with. And if we are receptive to that tranquility, if we are receptive to the mercy, that means we will leave here feeling more peace, more tranquility, more ease, less pressure, and less tension. That is the benefit of worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. We come to worship Allah all filled up with aggravations, irritations, annoyances. But once we get involved in the worship of Allah, we get drained from all those annoyances. We get drained from all those frustrations. We get drained from all those aggravations. And when you come to the house of Allah, you are sitting in the house of Allah to remember Allah. Please feel and activate your senses to feel and fathom how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring the tranquility over you. And He bring the mercy around you and the mercy envelops you. Be receptive to receive the mercy. Be receptive to receive the tranquility. Because if you absorb the tranquility, if you absorb the mercy, you will leave feeling more joy, more peace, more ease, and more harmony. Loved ones, I am due to speak to you today about the characteristics of a genuine community. But I would like to beg your pardon to speak about something else for some reason I had a strong inclination to speak about. And that is, I would like to speak about our thoughts. I want to speak about our thoughts. Our thoughts are very important and valuable to us. And they could be very dangerous. Because whatever you take to your mind, grow there. Some of the scholars of Islam say, sow a thought, reap an idea. Sow an idea, reap a concept. Sow a concept, reap a notion. Sow a notion, reap a whim. Sow a whim, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a practice. Sow a practice, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And it all starts from our thoughts. So it's very important for us to be watchful as to the kind of thoughts that we are taking to our minds. Because whatever we take to our minds have the tendency to grow there. Where do we get our thoughts from? You and I get our thoughts from different sources. Let me share with you a few of those important sources. We get our thoughts from our environment. The environment provides us with thoughts. And the environment is not about the locality in which you live. Because two people might be living in the same household, but each one of them lives in a different environment. The environment affects our thoughts. And the environment provides us with thoughts. And the environment of a person is made out of the books that he or she reads, the programs that they watch, the places that they go to. That is the environment. If a person reads junk books and he watches junky programs and he goes to junky places, it won't be a surprise for his thoughts to be junky. Whereas if a person reads good books, watches good programs, listens to good lessons, goes to good places, that means his thoughts will be good. So you and I have a responsibility to make sure that our environment, or the environment you put yourself in, is an environment that provides you with good thoughts. Another source of thoughts that could be good or bad is the people who you associate with. The people who you associate with provide you with thoughts. If we associate with good people, naturally they will provide us with good thoughts, good habits, good practices, and good attitudes. But if we associate ourselves with people who are negative, people who are bad, then they will put in us bad thoughts, bad attitudes, bad practices. It rubs off on you. The Prophet ﷺ tells us about the parable of the good company and the bad company through the story of the seller of musk and the blacksmith. You know this story. The Prophet ﷺ tells us about good company to be like the seller of musk. And he says the seller of musk, إِمَّا أَنْ يُحْذِيَكَ أَوْ أَنْ تَبْتَاعَ مِنْهُ أَوْ تَجِدَ مِنْهُ رِيحًا طَيِّبًا. Either he will give you some for free, or you buy some from him, or you find at least good odor coming to you from him. That is the parable of the good company. People who have good thoughts, good practices, good attitudes, they advise you, they teach you, or something good from them rubs off on you. Whereas the bad company is like the blacksmith. There's nothing wrong with having a career as being a blacksmith. We're not talking about the career. It's only the parable. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a person who associates himself with the blacksmith, he said, إما أن يحرق ثيابك أو أن تجد منه ريحا خبيثة. Either the fire will burn your clothing, or at least you're going to find bad odor. And likewise, when we associate ourselves with people who are negative, people who have negative thoughts, people who have wrong thoughts, people who have evil thoughts, people who do bad practices, people who have bad attitudes, if we associate ourselves with them, guess what? What they do might rub off on you. So it's your responsibility to make sure that the people you associate with are people that will encourage you, people that will lift you up, people that will make you feel positive, people that from whom you learn good things, from whom you acquire good thoughts. The good things that they do rubs off on you. So that is a very important source of thoughts. The third source of thought, and this source only provides for bad thoughts, and that is the demon. The demon has a mission, and his mission is to provide us with bad thoughts. This is his profession. He cannot make us do anything. Many people, when they do bad things, they say, La'natullah ala shaytan, he made me do it. No, the shaytan does not make you do it. Do not write yourself off from being accountable for your actions, because the shaytan cannot make any one of us do anything. All what he can do is suggest to us something. And he waters his suggestions from the rivers of desires that he sniffs that they exist within us, until those thoughts germinate and they breed after that an idea, a notion, a whim, a habit, a practice, a character. So what do we do about the whispers of the shaytan? We need to protect ourselves. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us what Zechariah was commanded to tell the Israelites. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, tells us, وَآمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ مَثَلَ ذَلِكَ كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ خَرَجَ وَالْعَدُوُّ فِي أَثَرِهِ سِرَاعًا حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَى عَلَى حِصْنٍ حَصِينٍ فَأَحْرَزَ نَفْسَهُ مِنْهُمْ كَذَلِكَ الْعَبْدُ لَا يُحْرِزُ نَفْسَهُ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ إِلَّا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. I command you to remember Allah. Verily, the example of the one who remembers Allah is like a man fleeing from the enemy, and the enemy is chasing after him until this man reached a fort. And this fort is a fortified fort. Then he entered the fort, thus he protected himself from the enemy. Likewise, you can only protect yourself from the demon by remembering Allah. This is your protection. So let us be in the habit of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying statements of oral praise and commendation. You know about those prayers that you are supposed to say in the morning, and in the early hours of the day, and in the afternoon, and in the evening, before you go to sleep, and when you wake up in the morning. Those prayers are very important. Through those prayers, Allah protects you from the whispers of the shaitan. And if you are able to disable the shaitan from bringing to you those bad thoughts, you will be much better off than otherwise. A fourth source of thought, and this source only provides good thoughts. But in order to get those good thoughts, you need to put yourself in a position to receive those good thoughts. You need to open yourself up. You need to be receptive to receive. Our problem sometimes that we are not receptive. We close ourselves. We do not align ourselves to receive the good thoughts. And those good thoughts come from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants to guide us. He says in the Quran in 2:257, اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah is the wali, which means He is the protecting friend. He is the authority that cares for them. Allah is the wali of the believers. He delivers them from the darkness into the light. Allah is the wali of the believers. Allah waliyu alladhina amanu. He is the wali of the believers. He delivers them from the darkness into the light. So for us to receive this deliverance, we need to believe in Allah. Put ourselves in a position of being receptive to the guidance of Allah. And once we put ourselves in positions that we are receptive to the guidance of Allah, then Allah delivers us from the darkness into the light. Imagine you go to a neighborhood, and in that neighborhood there are 50 houses. Only one house is equipped with a solar system through which they can convert the solar energy to electricity. So from all 50 houses, how many houses will benefit from that, from the sun rays? Only one house, which is equipped. Likewise, when we believe in Allah, when we turn our hearts to Allah, when we are receptive, then we benefit from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah delivers those who believe in Him from the circle of darkness to the circle of light. And the circle of darkness is made of many, many elements. Some of them are evil thoughts, wrong thoughts, erroneous thoughts, negative thoughts, and false thoughts. Whereas the circle of light is made out of many, many elements, and some of them are pious thoughts, correct thoughts, true thoughts, positive thoughts, right thoughts. And the process of deliverance from darkness into light is closely related to shifting our thoughts from evil to pious, wrong to right, erroneous to true and accurate, negative to positive, false to true. When we shift our thoughts, when we have those good thoughts, then our entire affairs will be good. When we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pray, several times a day, we say, and every time we pray several times, at least twice, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to the straight path. The scholars say the straight path يشمل الأحوال الإنسانية من عبادات ومعاملات وآداب. The straight path is inclusive to all of human affairs related to worship, transactions, relations, etiquettes, and procedures. So when we say to Allah, guide us to the straight path, lead us to the straight path, we're not only asking Allah to lead us to the path of righteousness, even though we are asking for that. We are asking Allah to lead us to the path of worshipping Allah and Allah alone. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَأَنِ اعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Worship me, this is a straight path. When you say, اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ, guide us to the straight path, you are asking Allah to guide you to the path of righteousness. And to the path of right-mindedness. And to the path of making correct decisions. And making correct decisions are closely related to the thoughts that we have in our minds. If we have good thoughts, positive thoughts, healthy thoughts, accurate thoughts, we will be able to make correct decisions. But if our thoughts are false, negative, inaccurate, we will not be able to make correct decisions. And can you imagine how life will be if you make correct decisions all the time? You say, well, that is not possible. Maybe it's not possible to make correct decisions all the time, but we can increase the frequency of our decisions that are accurate. And this accuracy in the decisions, loved ones, is not related to intelligence. Many people think if they are smart, they will be able to make correct decisions. And we see many people who are very smart and they make very bad decisions. They bring destructions onto themselves in a big way. But making correct decisions is related to faith. It's related to being guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is close relationship between making correct decisions and prosperity. And there is a close relationship between prosperity and faith. When we say to Allah, guide us to the straight path, we are asking Allah to guide us not only to the path of righteousness, but to the path of right-mindedness. The path of being able to make correct decisions in our lives. And those decisions are not about major decisions. Maybe just, what do you wear before you leave the house? A decision about what you should eat. Have you ever eaten something and you said, I wish I never eat it? If Allah guides you to decisions about what you eat, you will feel much better. If Allah guides your decisions about what you wear, you will feel much better. If Allah guides your decision about your financial situations, marriage situation, business situations, your business will be much better, your marriage will be much better, your relationships will be much better. So when you say اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, mean all of that as you are saying اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Because in the prophetic holy statement, which means it's the statement of Allah, when a slave says, when a servant says, اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, Allah says, هَذَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ, this is for my servant and I give my servant what he asked for. So ask for all of that when you say اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I remember one time I was in a school talking to a group of youth from 10 to 13 years of age. And one of them asked me, he said, should I pray before the game or after the game? Meaning maybe he is a little bit bashful, a little bit shy to pray before the game. So he wants to delay the prayer until after the game and then he prays after the game. I told him, if you want to win, you want to pray before the game, not after the game. Because when you pray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala empowers the person who prays. A praying is an empowering experience. It generates true energy within you. And when he prays, I told him, when you say, اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, that means you want Allah to guide all of your affairs. So Allah will guide your shots. Allah will guide your passes. Allah will guide where you stand in the field so you'll be in the right place in the right time. Mean all of that when you say اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. It's not about being only guided to the path of righteousness, but the path of right-mindedness. The path of making correct decisions on all aspects of your lives. And when we have correct thoughts in us, we will be making better decisions. And the thoughts that we might have in us, they're not necessarily impious or evil, but simply wrong. I don't know if you have children, but have you ever tried to potty train your child when he was 1 week old? You say, no, it's not doable. What are you talking about? We only think about potty train a child when he is 1 year old or over. We never try to potty train a child when he is less than that, because we have a thought that it cannot be done. Right? But it could be done. You know, I discovered something. The people in China potty train the child, or they start the process when the child is born. And children could be potty trained by the age of 3 months old, and some of them by the age of 2 weeks. And you can verify that. But why we do not do it in our cultures? Because we have the thought that it cannot be done. So we do not make a decision to proceed in that direction. But if Allah guides us to have correct thoughts, not only talking about evil thoughts and good thoughts, but correct thoughts, That will help us make correct decisions in every aspect of our lives. And those decisions, again, are not about being smart or intelligent, but about being guided by Allah. I will share with you this also hadith, which is a holy hadith, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمَعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا وَرِجْلُهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. My slave or my servant never draws near to me with something that is more beloved to me than what I have mandated upon him to do. And my servant continues drawing near to me with voluntary acts of worship. And here I want to make this point. Voluntary acts of worship does not only mean more fasting or more praying, but doing good unto others, helping others. All of that comes under the umbrella of voluntary acts of worship. Until I love him. That does not mean before that Allah does not love him. He loves him, but now this person receives a special kind of love. And once I love him, I will be the ears by which he hears, and the eyes by which he sees, and the hand by which he touches, and the foot by which he walks. That does not mean this person becomes God incarnate, not at all. But that means this person becomes totally empowered by Allah. He does not see things and hear things by his own personal inclinations and desires, but he hears and sees and touches and walks empowered by Allah. Do you think this person will make wrong decisions? That is guidance from Allah, brothers and sisters. And we want Allah to guide us. Allah says in the Quran in Surah At-Taghabun, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. Whoever believes in Allah, Allah guides his heart. When you put your trust in Allah, when you put your faith in Allah, when you rely on Allah, Allah guides your heart. Which means Allah guides your thoughts, Allah guides your decisions, Allah guides your attitudes to do something that is good, to do something that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many times, when we are confronted with a decision, when we have to do something, we get filled with irritation, aggravation, annoyance, frustration, and those elements turned us off, disabled us from being able to receive the guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the guidance of Allah comes to us when we are in the mode of sakina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He brings the sakina upon those who believe in order for them to increase in their faith. So through the mode of sakina, we receive the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through that mode, we receive the guidance of Allah. And whoever places his trust in Allah, whoever puts his faith in Allah, whoever relies on Allah, attains that sakina, Allah guides his heart. And let us not think about guidance only in terms of righteousness, but in terms of every aspect of our lives. Don't we always say Islam is a way of life? Don't we always say that? And if Islam is a way of life, that means the guidance of Islam encompasses every aspect of our lives. This is my reminder to you today. I hope that Allah makes us from the